Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the TAG Immobilien AG conference call. Interim report on the second quarter of 2019. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Martin Thiel.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. This is Martin from TAG. Welcome to our half-year 2019 earnings call. Thanks very much for dialing in. I'm sure you all had a chance to download the presentation that we published on our website this morning. Let's go through the presentation, and as always, afterwards, of course, we have enough time to answer your questions. And then PEP starts with page number 4 with the highlights slide. Perhaps starting with the FFO development, which was, from our point of view, very positive in the second quarter and increased by 1.3 million euro. If you compare the first half of 2019 with the first half of 2018, this was an increase in absolute terms and on a per share basis of more than 13%. Like-for-like rental growth also looks nice. 3.0% total like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction, and 2.5% the basis like-for-like rental growth. Looking at vacancy in the residential units as well in the total portfolio, the second quarter results were on a stable basis compared to the first quarter. We'll come back to more details on vacancy and like-for-like rental growth later. The EPRA NAV increased strongly. This was mainly the result of the half-year valuation that we carried out. As also in the past, in the last years, we had a half-year valuation. The full portfolio was valued by CBRE, and it ended up at a total valuation gain of 211 million euros. This equals a 4.4% semi-annual uplift. The new valuation levels are now at nearly 1,000 euro per square meter and looking at an in-place yield at 6.3%. Quick comment on acquisitions already now. Nearly 1,000 units acquired in the first half at what we think attractive multiples. Looking at the disposal side, just disposals from the ongoing disposal business, a total of 149 units were disposed. Total selling price a little bit more than 5 million euros with a slight book profit. Then let's turn to page number 6, the income statement. Looking at the main developments here, first of all, you see quite strong increase in net rental income quarter on quarter. This is, of course, on the one side due to higher rents, but the main effect was from cost savings that we had in the second quarter of 2019 compared to the first quarter. As always, there's a little bit of seasonality, a little bit of swing, depending on the timing of, for example, maintenance costs or from other expenses from property management costs. Generally, the trend is quite clear that we get more and more cost efficient. That, according to or in line with reduced vacancy rates, the cost basis is reduced quarter on quarter. That's clearly the long-term effect that we observe. So therefore, net rental income was increased quarter on quarter by nearly 1 million. And on the other side, the second main driver of the results, at least when we look at cash numbers, was the improved net financial results. Don't be confused if you look at the net financial results in the second quarter 2019 compared to the first quarter of 2019, which was lower, so 19.6 million compared to 12.3 million. The only reason for this reduction net financial results was a valuation effect from the equity component of our convertible bond. If you look at cash metrics, that's the one which is relevant for FFO, the net financial result quarter and quarter improved by 0.4 million. So if you want to make it very simple and you want to analyze the FFO development quarter and quarter, a total improvement of the FFO of 1.3 million, main reasons, firstly, the increase or the improvement in net rental income, mainly due to cost savings of 0.9 million and then 0.4 million financing costs. Then I'm on page number 7, where we show the EBITDA, FFO and AFFO calculation. I already mentioned the main drivers of the EBITDA, so the higher net rental income, and the main driver of the FFO, this was additionally improved financial, the net financial results. But important to point out as well that we also improved our AFFO quarter on quarter, now 26 million compared to 24.3 million in the previous quarter. So we are definitely in line also with our CapEx targets, with our maintenance targets, and you will see an improvement in the AFFO throughout the whole year. Coming to page number 8, the balance sheet, perhaps worth to mention that we issued a new promissory note, a new Schuldscheindarlehen in June 2019. Honestly, a little bit opportunistic. We simply wanted to use the very attractive interest rate environment and replaced via a private placement 102 million euros at an average maturity of nearly 6 years, and the average coupon, a complete fixed rate coupon, was 1.18%. Looking on page number 9, where you see the EPRA NAV calculation, worth to point out that the NAV growth, if we exclude the dividend payment, which led to a reduction of the NAV of 75 cents, was nearly 12% in the first half of 2019. So the very positive evaluation result, of course, contributed to this strong development. Therefore, the NAV now is at 18.59 euros compared to 70.32 euros at the beginning of the year. And now on page number 10, we see the financing structure, including now the new promissory notes with two maturities, 5 and 7 years. Perhaps important to look at the right side of the slide that we still have further refinancing potential. So looking at the bank loans that are maturing or where the interest terms are ending in the next 2.5 years, this still adds up to more than 380 million euros. And looking at the coupons of these bank loans, they are between 2.1% and 3.6% per annum. That's, of course, clearly much higher than current financing conditions. For example, current financing conditions for 10-year bank loans, mortgage secures, are perhaps around 1% or perhaps even slightly lower, having in mind that the swap rate is already, for 10 years, is already negative today. So therefore, we expect a further reduction in the average cost of debt, which was already down to 1.8% at the end of the second quarter. That compares to 1.9% average cost of debt at the beginning of the year. And this is still combined with long maturities, which are now on average 7.5 years for the total financial debt. On the pages 11 and 12, you see the development of the average cost of debt, of the loan-to-value, ICR, net financial debt to EBITDA, and net financial debt in euro per square meter. I think you notice very positive development from the last quarters, so therefore I will not comment on that in detail. We are clearly, in the meanwhile, below our LTV target of approximately 50%, so LTV was down now to 46.2%. Of course, LTV is always a reflection of the current valuation, and we feel very comfortable with a LTV of 46% based on a still moderate valuation of even a little bit less than 1,000 euros per square meter. So let's wait how the development of LTV, how the development of the valuation results will continue in the next quarters, and then perhaps at one point in time it's also necessary to redefine the LTV target if simply the valuation results has strongly reduce the LTV, but perhaps nothing to expect to come very shortly in the next weeks. Then I'm now moving to page number 15, where you see more details on the rental growth and the CapEx allocation in the first half of 2019. First, looking at the like-for-like rental growth, we can show you here a very positive development. The total like-for-like rental growth was up to 3% compared to 2.6% in the prior financial year, and this breaks down in a basis like-for-like rental growth of 2.5% and a contribution from vacancy reduction of 0.5%. And further analyzing this basis like-for-like rental growth of 2.5%, you can see the details on the bottom left of the slide number 15. Brings you numbers of 1.3% rent increases from existing tenants and 1.1% from tenant turnover. Only a slight contribution, just 0.1% from the modernization surcharge for existing tenants. So you see our CapEx strategy is absolutely unchanged. still the very largest part of our CapEx goes to vacancy reduction and not to the modernization surcharge for existing tenants. Top regions, you see more details in the appendix on page 6. And when we look at like-for-like rental growth, was once again the Berlin region, which is in our case nearly completely the Berlin commuter belt, with a basis like-for-like rental growth of 3.3% and a total like-for-like rental growth of 5%. And interestingly, again, Salzgitter, with a basis like-for-like rental growth of 3.5% and a total like-for-like rental growth of 3.8%. So I think very interesting number and still continuing the positive trend in Salzgitter from last year that we achieved here, a 3.5% annual like-for-like rental growth without any effects from vacancy reduction. The bottom of page number 15 on the right side shows you the allocation of maintenance and capex by region, and you can see that the Chemnitz region, including the city of Durban, is the region where we currently invest most of our capex. Not far away from that, and we are spending here more in the next one or two financial years, is the Berlin regions. So these two regions are clearly the focus of our investments currently. Then I'm moving on to page number 16, where we see the development of the vacancy rates in the first half of 2016. Vacancy rates increased a little bit at the beginning of the year. You know that from the first quarter, and were stable in the second quarter. We already had a slight reduction in July 2019 to 5.1%. We stick to our target, so for the year end, we expect a further reduction by approximately 50 basis points. So we should end up somewhere between 4.6 and 4.7% vacancy rate in the residential units. Again, in the appendix on page number 26, you see a more detailed split by regions. So the top regions in terms of vacancy reduction were the regions Berlin and Chemnitz. And in the Rostock region, so in the northeastern part of Germany, we had even a quite strong increase in vacancy rate, but this is not any trend. This is the outcome of new acquisitions data we had in 2018, and where it took, honestly, longer than expected until we had fully integrated this in our property management systems in 2019. So we are very confident that we will see, also in the Rostock region, vacancy reduction in the next quarters. Then I'm now on page 18, where you see the acquisitions from the first half of 2019. All in all, we acquired 1,000 units in four transactions. If you look at the average multiples that we paid, that was definitely attractive, 11.8 times. So this equals an 8.5% gross yield. Looking in the pipeline for perhaps upcoming acquisitions, you should expect that this gross yield is perhaps more moving towards 8% or even below 8%. I think the average gross yield last year was around 8%. So, of course, we see price increases also in our regions, and therefore this 8.5% gross yield in the first half was perhaps something more exceptional. But, of course, you know that we are price disciplined, but it should move more towards the 8% or even below that. Vacancy rates on average in these portfolios was nearly 11%. All the acquisitions were in eastern Germany. All the acquisitions were in locations where we already are, especially in Halle, and also in the meanwhile in Greifswald and Stralsund, we own larger number of units. So therefore, we were very happy to close this or to sign this acquisition. Closing is in most cases at the end of the third or fourth quarter. So 1,000 units in the first half, if you compare that with the financial year 2018, I think we are quite on the same way. We acquired 2,700 units in the full financial year 2018. In the first half of 2018, the number was quite small, so 200 units. So therefore, I think we're on a continuous successful way regarding our acquisitions. Then let's move on to page number 20. We'll see the results of the semi-annual valuation done by CBRE. Again, the full portfolio was valued by CBRE. The result was quite comparable to the last result from the half-year valuation or from the second half valuation of 2018. So 211 million semi-annual uplift. This equals a 4.4% uplift. And looking at the split, the main part, and it's also nothing unusual, is coming from yield compression, 77%. The in-place yield is now down from 6.5% to 6.3%. and perhaps also important to point out once again, the 6.3% is really based also on the current trend. That means including or taking into account the vacancy rate of, in the full portfolio, 5.6%. But also operational performance was, again, a very nice driver of the valuation result with a share of 23%. Operational overperformance means, in this case, that we are better in terms of vacancy reduction, better in terms of rent development than assumed by the valuer in its last valuation. Looking at the values now in total, I already mentioned nearly 1,000 euros per square meter, in place yield of 6.3%. That looks still really, let's say, moderate. So therefore, we are very optimistic that we will see further uplifts in the next valuation, and the next valuation will come as in the previous year at year-end 2019. On page 21, you see further valuation details. The region with the strongest valuation uplift was, perhaps not surprisingly, Berlin, which is, again, in our case, completely Berlin commuter belt, with 48 million valuation gain, out of which was 33 million from yield compression. And looking at the region with the lowest valuation result, perhaps also not that surprisingly, that was Gera, but still with a positive valuation contribution of 4 million. And then finally, on page 23, some words on our guidance for the financial year 2019. We left the guidance now unchanged, so it's still at 155 million euros. If you look at the half-year results, where we had an FFO of approximately 80 million and annualized that, we're already above our guidance, so this easy calculation would lead to an annual FFO of 160 million. So therefore, the guidance is perhaps more on the conservative side, but also we have to have in mind that we have the closing of some disposals now in the next weeks to come, disposals that we signed already last year, and that the acquisition that we presented today have a closing at the end of the third quarter or even at the end of the fourth quarter. So the contribution to FFO of the acquisition is perhaps only to a very small part in 2019. But all in all, it's clear that we're very optimistic with the concerning the achievement of our guidance. That's it from my side, a quick overview regarding the half-year results, and now I'm, of course, happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 9 followed by the star key on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please press 9 star again. Please press 9 star now if you'd like to raise a question. Okay, and first up we have Andre Remke, who's calling from Baader Bank. Over to you.
Yeah, good morning, Martin. Basically, two questions. First, regarding your planned disposal program, in the last sentence you mentioned it. Well, is it completely on plan? So it's the original target of 2,100 units. When will be the closing of the 700 units from last year? Will it be 1st of July, or can you give an indication here? And the remaining part, could we expect this in several smaller deals or in one larger deal? What is your impression? It is at the moment more difficult to sell such units? So this is a great question.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. And you're correct. The disposal assumed in the guidance were the 2,100 units. The 719 units that we signed last year, the closing will be at the end of August. And so we've got a remaining block of approximately 1,300, 1,400 units, which we're selling really in small parts. And if you want so, we are here behind what we assumed for the guidance, which is not really a problem. So we're selling that in small parts. I mean, what's, let's say, a little bit the difficulty for this disposal, we have here a lot of dislocations. So therefore, the original idea to sell this in one block was simply difficult. So therefore, we're doing this in small tranches, and we're very confident that we will sell that successfully in 2019 and perhaps in 2020. So therefore, perhaps what we assumed for purpose of the guidance as disposed in 2019, the 2,100 units was a little bit large, but it will not be a material difference. So part of these 2,100 units, perhaps some 400 or 500 units, will be sold then in the financial year 2020.
So in other words, also from that side, the guidance this will be more supportive for the FFO guidance for this year.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, and follow-up question on that. You mentioned the strategy to go into smaller deals. Has you changed your approach here? And what is the reason here? Is it pricing or interest in larger blocks?
Simply was a question of pricing. So when we brought the portfolio to the market, of course there was interest there, but we've seen from potential investors that they said, well, the portfolio that we had on the market was very diversified. And honestly, this was the background why we sold also this, or why we want to sell these portfolios, because we have some smaller locations in smaller cities where we think perhaps today everything's okay, but in the future, potentially, perhaps it's more difficult in these regions to do the successful business. So therefore, we changed our plan and say, okay, then perhaps more local buyers are a target. So sizes of 50 to 100 units are more appropriate, and that's what we're doing right now.
But at the end, the price expectations are still the same. As you,
yeah.
In comparison to the start of your thoughts to sell these properties.
Yeah. So we don't expect any losses in comparison to our book value. So that's very clear, no?
Okay. Then again, you mentioned in your presentation on the acquisition side, you're still expecting a similar size to last year, more or less.
Yeah, and perhaps. Once again, we have no official acquisition target. So still unchanged. Last year we had approximately 3,000 units. This should be a good estimate, but whether it is then the fourth quarter of 2019 that brings us some larger units or the first quarter of 2020, so that's difficult to predict, but we're confident that we end up in similar sizes. Let's say it like this. And if you look at the acquisitions that we're doing, for example, in the first half, and this will be also more typical for the second half, we're talking here about smaller sizes, 400, 500 units. That's in the meanwhile a typical acquisition size.
Okay, perfect. And then the last question on the proceeds from the Schuldscheindarlehen. Is there a short-term concrete use of the proceeds? Background of the question is to avoid too much cash on your balance sheet.
Yeah, we will finance acquisitions that we signed right now with the Schuldscheindarlehen, and we of course have some money left. So if you want, so we increased a little bit the share of unsecured financing when issuing the Schuldscheindarlehen.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much. That's on my side.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Thomas Neuhold, who's calling from Kepler Cheuvreux. Over to you.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Actually, I only have two. First level, I was wondering if you can give us your view on the regulatory risk in your business. I know you don't have a big exposure to the Berlin city itself, but you have assets in federal states. So we have a left-wing government. What are the political trends there? Are other governments thinking about implementing also their own rent regulation? What is your view on this and potentially, but I think it's maybe a little bit too early, what impact this regulatory risk has on your acquisition and CapEx strategy?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Thomas. First of all, to make it very clear, the current discussion, the current proposals around regulation have no impact on our strategy. And I think that's the important point to point out, or the good news. I mean, our strategy goes not to investments in the very large cities in Germany, like Berlin, Hamburg, Munich, and so on, and goes not to modernization projects for existing tenants. Both cases are, from our point of view, the really center of any thoughts about new regulations. So therefore, I think the TAG strategy is something that also in a world with tighter regulation will be a successful strategy. So therefore, having that in mind, from there on, it's just more or less a private opinion. I would personally be surprised if this whole discussion that we have currently in Germany will go off the table without any results. So I personally do not expect something extreme like we currently see in Berlin with a total rent freeze for the next 5 years, leaving aside a debate whether this is in line with the law or not, but that we have something around perhaps new Mietspiegel regulations, that we have perhaps some additional rental caps in large cities, without having any concrete resolution in mind, I think the risk is clearly there. So, and then again, that's not really our business, not really our investment focus. So therefore, we are in this regard really not in a position where we would have big concerns that new regulation hits us.
Okay, understood. And my last question is on page 6, you mentioned that the personal expenses were going up a little bit because you're carrying out more caretaker and craftsman services internally. Can you remind us what is currently the share of these internal craftsmen and caretaker services, what the cost savings roughly are versus market-sourced services, and your long-term targets, how much you want to do internally and what you still want to do source externally?
Mm-hmm. Well, the largest part of that is clearly the caretaker service, where we have currently approximately 50,000 units that is managed with our own caretakers, and this should be increased to approximately 90% of the portfolio. So where we have just a smaller number of units, it perhaps makes no sense to do that with internal caretakers, but the strategy is very clear to do the very largest part of the portfolio with internal caretakers. And I think we have also details there in the annual report, for example, regarding the FFO contribution from the caretaker service. Yes, clearly it's positive, but we talk here about some, let's say, 400,000-500,000 euros per year positive FFO contribution, which is, of course, a nice number. But the main aspect of our internal caretaker service is improving the quality. Mm-hmm. Because especially if you think about the properties that we buy with high vacancy rates, perhaps badly managed before in regions where it's really important to have good services for tenants, then the caretaker, which is who is perhaps the customer the tenant sees most often, is really an important person. So therefore, improving the quality of the caretaker service, that's the main argument. And then a second argument, but really a second, is then internal or general cost savings.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. The next question comes from Georg Kanders, who's calling from Bankhaus Lampe. Over to you.
Yeah, good morning from Düsseldorf. I wonder why there is such a high rent in Greifswald of more than 9 euro per square meter. Is there something special with the units you bought there?
Yeah, good question, Georg. This is a kind of a student apartment that we acquired there. It's not in the sense of fully managed student apartment house, but the rooms that we rent out there are very small, and the typical tenant there are students, so therefore it's a product that completely fits the students, and therefore the per square meter rent is nearly double to what we have normally.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Next up, we have Manuel Martin calling from Oddo BHF. Over to you.
Hello, Martin. Good morning. One question left. Have you planned for the second half year more spending or more rental expenses to decrease vacancy, and could this affect the FFO in half year two?
No, not really, because the total investments are now over the last, I would say, 2 years stable. If you put together maintenance and capex, we are around 19 euros. And the investments that we are doing basically right now, or that we did in the first quarter and second quarter, will then lead to vacancy reduction in the third and fourth quarter. So it's not the case that we need to increase the investments strongly to achieve any further vacancy reduction. So you should expect this more or less in line in the next two quarters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Kai Klose, who's calling from Berenberg. Over to you.
Yes, hello, good morning. I've got two quick questions. The first one is, could you indicate what is the current debt, the current amortization rate based on the current debt structure, which has seen a bit of a change following the issuance of the promissory note? And the second question, that's what to check, if I understood you correctly, that in future you are planning to spend more on CapEx, particularly in the Berlin region, properties located in the Berlin region. Just wondering, given the fact that there you have more or less the lowest vacancy rate in the portfolio, is it that you are aiming in these property for these properties for higher rents, or are you planning to, let's say, do a bit more new construction, or why are you not spending more on a relative basis in regions where vacancy rates are still above the portfolio average level? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Kai. First of all, your question regarding the amortization rate, of course, in the unsecured financing, that's zero. Regarding the bank loans, that's between 2.5 and 3% per annum. So currently, for us, it's absolutely okay if we have a new bank loan to have even a higher amortization rate of up to 3%, because looking at the total cash flow that we repay with our debt, if we have so low interest rates, that makes sense to repay the debt a little bit quicker than perhaps 2 or 3 years ago. So 2.5 to 3% in the bank loans, that's the current amortization rate. And then, yes, it's true that the Berlin region will be one of the regions, or perhaps the region besides Chemnitz, where we have the high share of our CapEx. And be more concrete, the location will be Brandenburg an der Havel. And within this Brandenburg an der Havel portfolio, there's one quarter of the city, which is called Görden. Perhaps you remember that because we've been there at our Capital Markets Day, where we had in some streets or still have high vacancy rates. So it is around 5% vacancy rate in Berlin. It's, of course, an average of, I'm simplifying a little bit, more 15% in Brandenburg an der Havel and perhaps 1 or 2% in locations like Nauen, Eberswalde or Strausberg. So therefore, we are really now targeting locations and quarters of the city where we still have high vacancy rates. And in this case, Brandenburg an der Havel is, from our point of view, a very promising point to city to invest.
Okay. And maybe a quick follow-up on the amortization rate when talking about the 380 million of refinancings or bank loans coming due over time. What are the amortization rate there in new mortgage loans which you are currently signing? Are you aiming for a lower one, or is the bank still asking for a similar rate, just to get an indication?
Yeah, well, let's say it like this. For us, a 3% amortization rate is absolutely no problem if you achieve then really nice financing conditions regarding, of course, the interest rate, regarding covenant structure. And that's something that we currently quite often agree to our banks. I mean, the current cash flow is not really the problem. So therefore, the very simple idea of repaying debt perhaps a little bit more early in times where interest rates are low, that's what we do right now.
All right. Great. Thanks so much indeed.
If anybody else would like to ask a question, please press 9* now. Okay, we have another question from Andres Tuma, who's calling from Green Street Advisors. Over to you.
Hi, good morning from my side. I have one question regarding the valuation. And is there any particular reason why regions such as Chemnitz and Salzgitter show kind of less dynamic valuation growth versus last year? And also, do you expect these regions to pick up in the year-end valuation?
Thank you for the question. Well, also for the second half of the year, we perhaps expect a similar valuation result. That means just a moderate increase in Gera and Salzgitter. We are very satisfied with the development in these two regions, especially with the Salzgitter region. If you remember what I said about the like-for-like rental growth that increased strongly in Salzgitter, and it is in the meanwhile without vacancy reduction of 3.5%. So this was definitely a positive development, and also the reduction vacancy rate was very strong. Gera is a more challenging market, that's clear, but also here we have very sound underlying fundamentals. But to be very honest, I mean, Salzgitter, Gera, that's a region, or these are cities where transaction volumes are definitely lower and where especially institutional investors are not that much investing that, for example, in it's the case in our Berlin portfolio or in our Dresden portfolio. So therefore, it should be very natural that also in the next years, this is more a place for, let's say, professional investors, real estate companies like we are, who are there to invest long-term and want to achieve an attractive cash flow, which we're having right now.
Thank you. Just to follow up on that, are you seeing what are you seeing in terms of the transaction market? Is the transaction activity picking up, or is it more subdued versus the last year in these less liquid locations?
But the trend is more that it's picking up. So we see more and more transactions in Salzgitter and also in Gera. So that's really a general trend, looking at our locations, which are mainly B or C locations, that liquidity or that transactions are picking up, but of course still lower than in a location like, for example, Hamburg or Berlin.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Thiel, it looks like we have no more questions today.
Okay, so thank you very much all for dialing into our call. As always, if there are any questions left, please feel free to contact Dominique from the IR department or myself. Thank you very much again, and have a nice day. Bye-bye from Hamburg.